Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on privacy when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. John Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him back in 1880 by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Well, Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that, quote, there is no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. Now, if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now, you know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of this Global 2000 program and the New World Order. It's the men and families like the Windsors and the Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and to survive this New World Order, this Global 2000 insanity. Now, to learn more about Global 2000, Bible Prophecy, and the New World Order, why don't you call and order our four-hour compact disc package. It's free, it's educational, entertaining, and informative. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and download that free general law CD package right there. Hey, we're talking about privacy. Privacy has to do with government and government surveillance. It's a broad subject, a broad topic. I'm one of the few guys, I guess, in the country that's not really complaining about the Patriot Act. I'm reporting to you about it, but there's not much we can do about it. It's already been enacted. It was enacted by the Republicans, and it's been supported by the Democrats. So both political parties are in favor of the Patriot Act. So we're going to live with it, whether we like it or not, so make up your mind to it. Question arises, well, what are you going to do about its intrusive implications? What about how are you going to live your life from now on? Remember, the Patriot Act gives the government the power to go into your library and ask the librarian for the library card. That's your library card, so that they can look it up and then find out what books you've been buying and if they find are reading. And so if they find that your library card is associated with books that they deem to be subversive or terrorist books or something like that, boy, now they're on your trail, aren't they? No. Now, what we need here is a logical, systematic program that we can employ ourselves to protect ourselves from the FBI finding out and then writing up in your dossier. Now, remember, you have, on average, if you're just the average Joe Sixpack American now, you have 15 files in 15 different places by your federal government, all of them by itself. And now we got a 16th file. Number 16 is there. And it's the central database. I reported that to you already. Now, I'm not going to change the government and their 15 files. I mean, they've already got my file from the Ferndale High School, for crying out loud. But, you know, since 1957, they don't have anything more on my school file. Isn't that special? Now, since 1957, I've been out here learning a whole bunch more. And they haven't got a clue as to how much I learned. See, I didn't go to the university. I didn't go to college. So they don't know anything about what I learned that the rest of you were learning when you went to college. See, they know what you studied. They don't know what I studied. So that gives me a measure of privacy. There's some things out here that I know that I ain't talking about. I ain't telling them. Yeah, I know it, and I learned it. I found out about it. And they'd like to know what I know, but I ain't talking. All right, now there's one. Let's take a look at this library card. Let me tell you something here about privacy. One day when I got into this, I was still at Barrister's Inn up in Boise, Idaho. And then when this subject matter came up, see, this is back in 1980 through 1985, five-year period there, early 1980s. President Reagan, you know, was president now. And we got to researching this, and I said, oh, my God, the government has all these files on us, 15 files on average. And I said, well, you know, I'm a Joe Six-Pack American, so they must have 15 files on me, just like everybody else. I'm just average. What can I do starting today to stop giving them any new information? And so I discovered there was a piece in the paper about this guy's library card. And so I went down to City Hall and I said, well, give me the ordinance on the library card. And I found out that the city ordinance that, you know, they own the library and they own all the books in there. If you get a library card, there's a penalty for not giving the book back. And the penalty is 90 days in jail and a $300 fine. Now, they don't actually do that to you. See, if you're over on your book, they send you a postcard. They send just a card. And it says you've got a library book that's due, and then they write in there the book that's due, it's past due, and the fine at this juncture of time used to be a nickel a day back in those days. And so, you know, it was 2 weeks overdue, and so now you owe us, you know, 75 cents or something like that. And so then you'd bring your book back and pay them the 75 cents, and everything's fine. Yeah, it's pretty normal. But boys and girls, let me tell you this. As a matter of law, if they wanted to, the day that you failed to bring the book back, they could charge you with stealing the book, prosecute you, make you defend, and then if they find you guilty, sentence you to a $300 fine and 90 days in jail. And the fact that they haven't done that and they don't do that as a matter of policy doesn't mean that they can't do that. So when I saw that, I said, oh my God, I never realized the liability that I've got here. This is a liability. And I thought to myself, well, how many books could I buy with $300 and how much money is it going to cost me if I went to jail for 90 days? Now, have you ever heard of anybody being sentenced to 90 days in jail and a $300 fine? Well, I haven't either. Well, then if they don't intend to ever use that power, then why write it up and put it in the law? So I said to myself, well, they must intend to do that to somebody that they really dislike. They've got the power to do it. So if they could steer the public over here into thinking that, hey, this George Gordon's a dirty, low-down, no-good communist terrorist over here, and the only thing we can get on him is that he didn't return his library book, put him in jail for 90 days and fine him $300. So I said, I think I'll take that power away from the city of Boise. And I did. I took my library card down. I wrote up a rescission, turned my card in, and now I took the power away from them. Now you're going to sit there and say, yeah, but now you can't read books. Certainly I can read books. And any of you that have ever been here in my office, oftentimes people come in here and they're just bedazzled and they say, my God, I've never seen anybody with this many books in their office. And then I tell them, hell, this isn't all of the books. This is just the books that I use regularly. They're in front of me here in my office. The books I don't use regularly are in other rooms of the house. In fact, one prosecutor said, he was in court one day, he said, George Gordon has a bigger law library in his office than we have in Ozark County. And he's right. I have a bigger law library than Ozark County, Texas County, Douglas County. I bet you I got more law books here than any five counties surrounding us. Doesn't mean I read them all. Doesn't mean that I'm real smart. I just happen to collect a lot of books. Now, here's the moral to the story. I didn't get one of these from the library. I bought them all. I own them, free and clear. They're mine. Well, isn't that more expensive? Yeah, it is. Yeah. But my government doesn't have that 90 days and $300 fine power over me anymore. Furthermore, there aren't any records as to what I'm buying. I go into Barnes & Noble and I buy a book. Nobody takes my name, address, or telephone number, and I walk out of there. And I have this book filled with all of this information, and the FBI doesn't know what I know. But if the FBI wants to know what you know, then they go to your library and they say, hey, what's this guy's reading habits like? And then they go down the list and says, oh, my God, look what this guy's reading. Then they profile you. See, they're very careful to come out in the news and say, oh, no, we can't profile people. No. Then they go back and they profile you and say, oh, this guy fits all of the profiles of a terrorist, all right. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart. Now, remember I said there's 63 sources of information about you? Well, now you know one of those sources of information. It's your library card. And it's even written up in the Patriot Act. Now, the FBI knows that your library card is a window into your life, your lifestyle, your interests, your politics. Oh, yeah. Your religion. See, we can look at the books that you read, and we can determine whether or not you're a Catholic or a Protestant, whether you're a Jew, Buddhist, animist, Shintoist. I mean, just take a look. And it isn't because you went out and you read a book on the Seventh-day Adventist or you read a book on the Pope. It's a combination of things that we put together. This is what psychology and psychiatry are all about. It's how do you predict, how do you determine what this guy's thinking, what he's doing, and what he's likely to do in the future. And so they profile us. And sure enough, you know, it's a thing called body language. You know, you can sit here. I read a book one time on body language, and I didn't know this, but when you see some guy fold his arms across his chest, that's a signal that he is a skeptical of what you're telling him. And so I learned that one body language signal thing. Then here's another body language signal, you know. And when a speaker is speaking to you, and he furls his brow, and you can see the wrinkles in his brow, he's appealing to you with humble submissiveness, you know. And this is what I really believe. And this is why KY3 is the place to be, because we care. See, when I see Ned Reynolds make that statement, and then he doesn't have his brow furled, I say, well, that's a canned statement. But when he furls his brow, I say, no, that guy really is sincere. He really means that. See, that's body language. So, you know, when you're tuned in to what it is that makes you tick, and then you're tuned into the 63 places where government goes to get information about you, and then you find your library card is one of them. Now, I mentioned banks the other day, you know, and I told you that when a skip tracer gets a pile of checks, gets 20 or 30 checks, let me tell you, son, well, as soon as the FBI agent gets your canceled checks for last year, I mean, you might as well walk into the airport and pull your pants down and say, feel me up. I mean, that guy's got you. And you don't have to use the memo line. You don't have to write anything into the memo line that says, hey, this is for a subscription to the Communist Daily Worker. You know, he can just look at your buying habits and the stores that you frequent and the number of purchases that you make over time. And boy, that guy can lay out a hell of a story. The IRS uses that. They can actually build a tax case against you. They don't have to see any income at all. Just where do you spend your money? You know, if they see that you're spending $100,000 a year over the last 3 or 4 years, and you have no visible means of support, and you don't work, and you just drive around in a Jaguar, it doesn't take them long to put together the fact that you're a drug dealer. You don't have to be real smart to figure that out. And you'd think these drug dealers out here would have some kind of a cover story. See, the CIA, they run undercover businesses. I mean, they have just plain Jane, legitimate businesses in New York City on Park Avenue, funded and operated and manned by CIA agents. It's a CIA business. And they don't register that, you know, with their business license and say, you know, the parent company, Central Intelligence Agency. Now, what are they doing with that business out there? That business, the FBI does this. They conduct sting operations. Those are surveillance operations. They have the business records of their customers that come into the store all the time so that they can be playing counter spy at the same time, see? So there's all kinds of chicanery going on. And it's not illegal for the CIA to open a store on Park Avenue and then collect the business records of the customers that come in there, turn them over to the IRS, and, you know, they operate auto agencies and things like that, and people come in, buy cars. Hell, you're buying your car from the CIA or the FBI. I'll tell you a story here. One time the FBI, God love them, you know, the FBI does do a lot of good work, and I really like to read about the good work that they do. I hate this chicanery that's going on and their agency being used for that, but then I guess that was a natural outgrowth of government power. But the FBI went up to Chicago one day, and they conducted a sting operation up there by using lawyers. You know, FBI agents are lawyers, you know. You can't get to be an FBI agent unless you've got a law school degree. So there's judges up in Chicago, and they're taking bribes. And so these lawyers, these FBI undercover agents, they'd go in and they would represent legitimately. I mean, this guy's a lawyer. He's representing a drug guy. See, a drug guy. Some guy's been arrested for drugs. And then he would go into the judge and offer the judge a bribe. Say, hey, if you let this guy off, you know, with probation and so on, we'll give you $20,000 or $50,000. And what's the FBI doing? They're looking for crooked judges who are taking bribes. It's an undercover sting. So when my students come in here, I tell them, no, when somebody comes up to you, then they say, well, they suggest to you that you commit this crime, tax evasion or maybe whatever it might be, that, you know, you should be on your toes. Pay attention to what's going on around you here. Who is this guy? What's this all about? So they stung a bunch of judges up there, and I think that that's good work and that that ought to be done. Every judge in America should know that when somebody offers him a bribe, that may be an FBI undercover agent. That keeps everybody honest, doesn't it? It keeps me honest. See, when somebody comes in here and they offer me this or that or something else, and they're proposing some kind of an illegal activity, I say, oh my God, that might be an undercover FBI agent here in my classroom. Government agents come through here every once in a while, and when they ask me leading questions, you know, about my activities and what I'm doing, you know, I say, well, oh my God, this guy here, he sounds kind of phony to me. So tuck that one away in your heart. Now, last time we started this out, we were talking about Bush's secret surveillance state. Well, the Fourth Amendment, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, It requires a wiretap, and it requires a court order. Nothing has changed. And by the way, when you're talking about chasing down terrorists, you're talking about getting a court order before we do so. It's important for our fellow citizens to understand when you think Patriot Act, constitutional guarantees are in place. When it comes to doing what is necessary to protect our homeland, because we value our Constitution. That's a statement made by George W. Bush on April the 20th, 2004. Now, have you paid attention in the last program as to what these quotations and citations and what the President actually did with the Patriot Act? It bypasses the Fourth and Fifth Amendments. It's the exact opposite. So your president comes out and he tells you what you want to hear. We're promoting a strong dollar. We're protecting people's privacy. We want to cut spending. We want to cut taxes. We want to protect our Constitution. George Bush is a skull and bones New World Order. Let's see if I can describe some adjectives here. Jesuit lackey who is working his heart out to create a new world order by subjecting the United States to it. As is Barack Obama, as is. I mean, you know, your government has all these new world order people already put into place, and it's a done deal. I mean, it's already been accomplished. America is bankrupt. That was their goal. America has been converted from the Ten Commandments to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. It has been converted into a communist socialist welfare state, and the people of America love it and support it. Now, my purpose for bringing this to your attention is that this is going to come to a no good end. This opening the military to gays, you know, and lesbians, that's going to come to a no good end, just like Sodom and Gomorrah did. So I just wanted to tell you up front and personal, we're not going to get away with that. Nobody has gotten away with that over the past 5,000 years. Now, what makes you think we're going to get away with it here in the United States? Now, those that can't learn from history then are doomed to repeat its mistakes. It's an old adage that I picked up when I was a kid in school. I don't know who said that, but, you know, some famous guy somewhere came along, woke up one day, and he said, hey, if we can't learn from the mistakes of Napoleon, if we can't learn from the mistakes of Rome, if we don't pay attention to what happened in Egypt, then we Americans are going to suffer the same fate that they did. And that's where that story is. Now, the Bush administration appears to consider public knowledge of its illegal surveillance of American citizens to be more dangerous than the surveillance itself. On December 16, 2005, the New York Times reported that President Bush has been secretly ordering the National Security Agency to spy on American citizens within the United States without first getting judicially issued warrants. When asked repeatedly about the controversy during an interview with Jim Lehrer on the day the story broke, Bush evaded the questions, and he responded, "We don't talk about sources and methods. Don't talk about ongoing intelligence operations. I know there's speculation, but it's important for the American people to understand that we will do, or I will use my power to protect us, and I will do so under the law, and that's important for our citizens to understand." Well, hell, that sounds like Adolf Hitler telling the Germans, you know, hey, listen, I'm doing everything I can here as your Führer to protect you from communism, to protect the fatherland. Well, okay. Well, I suppose that Abraham Lincoln wasn't doing the same thing. George Washington, you know, William McKinley, you know, everybody who's president of the United States, you know, we presume that the guy is working in the best interests of the people. Jesus made an observation one time. He said, "You'll know them by their fruit. Do men gather figs of vines?" You know, no. You gather figs off of fig trees, and you gather grapes off of vines, and you get berries off of brambles. You'll know them by their fruits. And so when you see Tim Gaither tell you about the strong dollar while we're racking up another $1.5 trillion deficit, you'll know him by his fruits, that he's a lion sack of SH. And we're here to protect the people's privacy, George Bush, while they enact the Patriot Act. You'll know that he's full of SH. And we wish to cut taxes. Well, when you watch the alternative minimum tax kick in and government revenue go up by 10%, you'll know that President Bush was full of SH. And then we want to cut spending. And that's the latest thing you hear from the Barack Obama administration. While they run up $1.5 trillion deficits every year, you'll know he's full of SH. Got that? Now, they're about to come out and tell us peace, peace. They haven't got to that point yet. That's what Jeremiah told us. That's what our Creator told us. Hey, they're coming with another big whopping lie over here. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Well, the same day, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice also defended Bush's vague and secret powers to protect us, insisting that Bush has always said that he will do everything that he can to protect the American people from the kind of attack that we experienced on September 11th, but within the law and with due regard to the civil liberties of Americans. Huh? I mean, these guys, they've got a lot of gall. They come out and they lie to us. They tell us what we want to hear, and that's what every American wants to hear. And then we bought into it. Franklin D. Roosevelt, my daddy told me, was the greatest liar God ever put breath into. There wasn't anybody that could lie like Franklin Roosevelt. He said he'd come onto his fireside chats, he'd lie to you. You knew he was lying and loved every word. Loved every word. Said, God, that guy's good. Well, on December 17th, Bush conceded that he had, in fact, ordered the secret spying, saying that it made it more likely that killers like those 9/11 hijackers will be identified and located in time. He describes the program as critical to saving American lives. Now, remember that this 9/11 attack on the trade towers was a black ops operation conducted by the CIA. Remember? I mean, this is Bush that ordered that attack. It was the CIA that carried it out. Well, you didn't know that? Well, then you're one of that one-third of Americans that hadn't been clued in yet. The other two-thirds of us have already seen those DVDs and CDs. And the clincher was that Building 7. Remember when Silverstein came out on 9/11 and said we had to pull that building, pull it. That meant we had to demolish it. They had that building already wired for demolition. So when they pushed the button, the building just fell right down into the basement, just like all buildings do when companies come in and wire them for demolition. But it takes 6 weeks to wire that building for demolition. That building was occupied on 9/11. They wired that building for demolition at the same time it was full of people. Do you think they got a building permit from downtown New York before they wired that building for demolition? I'm thinking that that airplane that crashed in Pennsylvania was supposed to hit that building, and the passengers screwed it up, and the airplane ended up crashing into a field up in Pennsylvania. So at the end of the day, they had no choice. They had it wired. They had to destroy the building. That's the building that contained all of the information on that TWA 800 crash, remember? And remember Oklahoma City? That was the building that contained all of the evidence for that Waco event, remember? Hey, I'm just throwing that out there for you to keep up with the times here. Now, they tell us what we want to hear. And, hey, the government's pretty good at keeping their privacy and keeping their secrets, aren't they? And then they stick to their story. By God, the Twin Towers pancaked all the way down. Hey, now, you know that that's not true, because when a building pancakes, it takes longer than 9 seconds. Those two buildings collapsed in 9 seconds, which is exactly consistent with blowing the building up and having it wired for demolition. It would take exactly 9 seconds, and that's what it took. But if the building pancaked, it would take about two minutes. It's 100 stories tall. Each floor, when it pancakes, takes about 10 seconds each. So if that building had, in fact, pancaked, it would have taken a lot longer. Furthermore, it wouldn't fall straight down and fall over on its side. You know, there's a lot of information out there that we ought to pay attention to. Most of us are aware of some of these facts that I'm relating to you. But our privacy is at issue. And the question arises, well, what are we going to do about it? I'm not going to change 9/11. I'm not going to change Silverstein. I'm not going to change Barack Obama or George Bush. I'm not going to change the FBI or the CIA. What I'm concerned about is, well, how do I protect my privacy from George Bush, Barack Obama, the FBI, the CIA, the IRS, and all the rest of these government gurus that want to come in here and use information that I generate against me and then punish me for it? See? Now, you have to be concerned about, well, what is the government gathering together against you? What is it that you want to keep personal and private? Hey, we're at the halfway point here. Let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-commercial, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour, an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or those publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about privacy and privacy issues here. This is an article from this outfit called FFF, the Future of Freedom Foundation. You can probably get a copy of this, or you might, and it's called www.fff.org. www.fff.org. They got a couple of phone numbers up there. Write this down if you're interested in calling them first. Number 703-934-6101. Once more, that's area code 703-934-6101. This article is called Bush's Secret Surveillance State by Anthony Gregory. Well, by December 19th, going on, he says, the administration appeared visibly emboldened on this issue. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez went so far as to say that the president had the inherent authority to perform such secret, warrantless wiretaps of people in the United States. The president, on the same day, vowed that the program would resume for so long as the nation faces the continuing threat of an enemy that wants to kill American citizens. Even more remarkably, he called the disclosure of the program a shameful act and said, the fact that we're discussing this program is helping the enemy. How would you like it, let me put a mark here in the margin, how would you have liked it if President Nixon had said, even more remarkably, he called the disclosure of the Watergate program a shameful act and said that the fact that we're discussing Watergate is helping our enemies. So what's shameful about this is that our president over here is a criminal who's in violation of his oath of office and in violation of the laws that are set down that he's supposed to be enforcing, you know, like the Fourth Amendment protection. Now, we may not like Martin Luther King, or we may not like the University of California at Berkeley, and we may not like those flaming radical liberals, but if we're going to have free speech, you know, if we're going to have a Fourth Amendment that protects our person, houses, papers, and effects, doesn't it have to protect everybody equally? Because if it doesn't, well, then, you know, the next administration comes in and they say, well, let's go after Democrats, and the next one comes in, well, let's go after Republicans. See, that's what Nixon did. He used the IRS to harass and to prosecute his political enemies. Well, now, if he can do that, then why can't Bill Clinton do the same thing and prosecute his Republican enemies? I mean, that's just where reality is located. Now, it isn't going to change anything, and I'm not beating my gums here for no good purpose. We teach two schools here, one on subsistence and survival and one on business, with the express intention of teaching you how to use the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, protect your constitutional rights, and to do it lawfully and within the bounds of our Constitution, and to go defend it if you need to. Now, if we practice our Constitution, we practice our rights, that's not against the law. See, that's what the law is there for. Then there's one more little thingy over here called courtroom strategy and procedure. Now, if you're going to actually go exercise your rights, then you have to be able to go defend those rights on your 9 square feet on the courtroom floor. That's why I keep telling us about the only place that we'll find any reason, logic, or common sense left in America is in the courtroom. It's not going to be in the Congress or in the White House. It's not going to be in the FBI or the CIA. Well, those are the guys that are destroying your rights. Those are the guys that are working for the New World Order. It isn't that the judges aren't in on the act also. I'm not totally naive. It's just that the judges over here are appointed for life. And because they're appointed for life, when the judge makes a decision, he can make a decision for you. And when you're practicing the Ten Commandment program, you got Big Mike working for you too. There's about 20 neat scriptures, you know, like Revelation 3:10 comes into play, that protect you. So I just thought I'd throw that one out there for your consideration. Now, in a few days, the administration had gone from refusing to discuss the program to defending it, and all the while suggesting that the Constitution and the Congress's authorization of power to the president immediately followed the 9/11 attacks together and gave the executive branch any number of unchecked, secretive powers over the American people, and that all the president has to do is claim that his actions are for national security, and we should all shut up about them lest we assist the terrorists. Well, just this last Saturday, December the 24th, the New York Times reported that the administration gathered much more information through the NSA program than it had so far admitted, and including a wide range of data to perform pattern analysis, the profiling for certain calling behaviors, a process that reportedly exposed the entire U.S. telecommunications system, including email, to surveillance, and that the program monitored both domestic and international calls. The news of domestic spying comes less than a week after one of the administration's top intelligence officials said at a White House briefing. He said, I can assure you by the physics of the intercept, by how we actually conduct our activities, that one end of these communications are always outside the United States. All right, so let me put this one to you. Let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion, that you're a businessman and that you have a Swiss bank account. And you want to check on your Swiss bank account, so you call Switzerland, or the Swiss bank calls you. Now, you're not a terrorist, and you're not involved in terrorist activities. You're not even Muslim. You know, you're a Catholic, just doing your thing. The mere fact that this call originated outside the United States, this is assuming that this guy's telling the truth, which government agents and agencies seldom do. They do once in a while to keep us confused. But assuming the guy's telling the truth, this is one end is outside the United States, and we're going to use this expanded Patriot Act power. But the IRS comes into the game. You see, they're looking to find tax evaders, and they're looking to catch other criminals. You're not involved, you know, no, in terrorism. But we're using terrorism as the excuse to get into your bank records so that we can monitor your emails, so that we can listen to your telephone calls, so that we can prosecute you for taxes. That's a clear violation of our Fourth Amendment rights. That doesn't tell the place to be searched and the things to be seized, and they're not after tax records. They haven't gone to a judge to get a warrant. They haven't used due process and equal protection of the law. They're on a fishing expedition. And that's specifically prohibited. Our founding fathers said, you know, all of us have enough skeletons in our closets that we don't need governments, the king's agents coming in here looking through our papers and books trying to find a crime. So that's why they wrote our Constitution, put in this Bill of Rights, and gave us these protections. Now, Americans today don't care too much about those protections. They went to public school. They don't even know what the hell they're entitled to. They don't know about their Bill of Rights and their Constitution. They haven't been taught and trained. That's why they've been dumbed down. Now, the secrecy and the dishonesty surrounding this program are especially troubling. What has the administration got to hide? And for a full year, the New York Times kept the story secret at the request of the administration. So, you know, the newspaper didn't even publish the story. Not like WikiLeaks. They held it for a year. Bush even invited the newspaper's publisher and executive editor into the Oval Office on December 6th in one last desperate attempt to dissuade them from releasing the story, according to Newsweek. Will the president actually get away with such blatant disregard for the Bill of Rights, the balance of powers, the right of the American people to know what their government is doing to them or in their behalf? Now, the latest abortion that has been foisted upon us here is after this bailout thing. Remember this trillion-dollar bailout for Goldman Sachs and Bank of America and J.P. Morgan? Well, Ron Paul goes in and says, hey, we'd like to know how you guys are spending this money. And guess what? The Treasury, along with Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, says, oh, my God, that's top secret. Why, that's classified information. Why, we're not going to tell you that. That's the Federal Reserve, the Wall Street banks, and the United States Treasury. And then I haven't heard the President of the United States stand up and say, what a crock of SH. Get out there and give them the information. Let them know what the hell we did with their money. Oh, no, that's top secret thing. Well, okay, if that's the way you want to play the game, well, go ahead. I'm not going to stop that. I just wanted to report it to you and then say, well, now what are you going to do? You know, how are you going to pay your bills and feed your family and pay your car payment and your mortgage? You want to give them more information? You want them rifling around through your bank accounts and one thing and another? Let me give you another little quick tip here. Banks are there as government institutions. They're corporations. And if you'll go back to Hale versus Hinkle, cited at 201 U.S. 43, go to page 75 and read the article there, the court's opinion on individuals and corporations. And these corporations, remember, under the Patriot Act, they just hand over the information, and they'll never tell you about it. And that happened to me one time. The IRS came in, seized my bank account, and then I went ahead, that was on a Thursday, I went ahead on Friday, wrote out my payroll checks. By Monday, all my payroll checks had bounced. The bank never called me and said, hey, your bank account's been cleaned out by the IRS. They kept it secret. Now, as it, you know, when it was all said and done, I got my checks covered and we went about our business. But I just wanted to point out to you that the IRS is not there to help business. And I had a payment agreement with them, and they have the power. In spite of the payment agreement, if they want to come in there, they say, well, you got too much money in your account, we're just going to take $10,000 or $20,000. They can do that. The payment agreement allows that. But common sense and just common courtesy and common decency would say, well, Mr. Gordon, we're going to take that out. So when you go to write your payroll check so that they don't bounce. And that doesn't help any business to have their checks bouncing all over town, does it? All right. Now, that being the case, did it ever occur to us that the IRS's purpose in life was to destroy my company and to destroy me? That's exactly what Mary Trudeau was doing. The purpose was to put us out of business. And I'm over here working hard to prevent that from happening. Then one day I woke up and I said, oh, my God, my government wants to put me out of business. They want to implement the first plank to the Communist Manifesto. Well, let me help them. So today I can report to you that I employ no one, produce nothing, and pay no tax. Now, can anybody write me an email now? Explain to me how that benefits the economy, benefits the nation, or benefits you. Now, I used to employ 30 people, produce $1 million a year, and pay $200,000 a year in taxes. I thought that that benefited the economy, benefited the nation, and benefited you. See, I was out of touch with reality. I wasn't practicing the 10 planks. Now, so far, the main argument to sustain this kind of secrecy of the surveillance state seems rather circular. We can trust government to do what is right because it tells us it is doing what is right. On December the 17th, the president himself defended the powers, claiming that while in the United States, two of the 9/11 terrorists, Nawaf al-Hazmi and Khalid al-Maidar, had contacted suspected members of Al-Qaeda, but that U.S. intelligence, constrained by the traditional checks and balances, didn't know that they were here until it was too late. However, according to a 2002 report by the White House and the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, the problem was not a lack of power, but rather bureaucratic bungling. NSA and the FBI did not fully coordinate their efforts, and as a result, the opportunity to determine al-Maidar's presence in the United States was lost. And incidentally, it was also bureaucratic incompetence, not a lack of power, that impeded the FBI investigation of Zakaris Moussaoui. The feds relied foolishly on the FISA process when an old-fashioned search warrant would probably have been attainable. Now, notice here they're calling this bureaucratic incompetence. No. There's nothing incompetent about your bureaucracy. Your bureaucracy and your government are right on top of everything. It's the agenda. The agenda is to destroy America. Now, just take a look at what they're doing. You'll know them by their fruits, boys and girls, not by their much speaking. You'll know them by their fruits. What is it that they're actually doing? They tell you strong dollar, but they inflate your currency. They tell you protect people's privacy, then they pass the Patriot Act and invade your privacy. They tell you we want to cut spending while they inflate the currency and spend $1.5 trillion every year more than they're taking in. We want to cut taxes, then they continue the tax increases of the Bush tax cuts through the alternative minimum tax. I say it's time to wake up and smell the coffee here, don't you? Now, going on, he says, this NSA spying program is especially egregious given the administration circumvented the already lower standards for surveillance set forth by FISA and unleashed an arm of the military to spy on American communications. But it's only the newest blunt tool of the secretive surveillance state to come to light. Since 9/11, the FBI's powers to issue national security letters and to coerce institutions to reveal customers' personal and financial information have been expanded, notably by the USA Patriot Act passed in October of 2001. Recipients of these letters must comply with them without telling anyone, including the customers whose personal information is being revealed. By late in 2005, the FBI was issuing 30,000 of them annually. Let's think about the USA Patriot Act here. Remember, 9/11 occurred on the 11th of September of 2001. The next month, 30 days later, Congress passed the Patriot Act with 1,300 pages. 1,300 divided by 30 is 43 pages a day. They had to sit down and say, what are we going to do about this attack on our country? And they came to the conclusion, we need the USA Patriot Act. And they sat down in the committee and they wrote 43 pages a day for 30 days and then passed it. And by the way, nobody in the Senate or House of Representatives, when they passed it, had ever read it. No, boys and girls, that's another lion sack of you-know-what. They already had the Patriot Act written and ready to go. Now they needed an excuse to implement it. So they created this black flag operation, knocked down two buildings, blamed it on the Muslims, and then unveiled the Patriot Act, which is already written and ready to go. 43 pages a day? I don't believe for a moment that your Congress could write 43 pages a day for 30 days to get that act passed after the fact. If you do, you know, welcome to Alice in Wonderland. In August of 2005, the FBI admitted to secretly collecting thousands of files on nonviolent activists and anti-war groups, including the ACLU. The newest released files include documents on the Catholic Worker Movement and Anti-Poverty Organization, which the documentation notes has a semi-communistic ideology. Well, I'm not in favor of the Catholic Worker Movement either. I'm not in favor of their semi-communistic ideology. Boys and girls, do we Americans practice all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto as a matter of routine? What in the hell is wrong with this group over here practicing a semi-communistic ideology? All of us have a total communistic ideology. Next. Just this month, NBC News obtained a secret 400-page database maintained by the Pentagon and contained information on anti-war gatherings and demonstrations within the United States, including a meeting of anti-war Quakers in Florida that the database describes as a suspicious incident and a threat. See what they're doing here? Now you take these anti-war Quakers, these religious kooks over here, and they're now a threat? No, it's your government that's a threat. And it's not the Quakers, and it's not the semi-communist Catholic worker movement. So there's that story. The real threat to American liberty, the defense of which the administration still insists is the purpose of this war on terror, the real threat is a federal government without a strict set of checks and balances on its power, whose executives feel comfortable using the military to spy on peaceful Americans like Quakers and Catholics, while telling the media not to report their secret and unconstitutional, illegal, and unlawful surveillance activities. The use of a military intelligence agency against the American people, with or without judicial oversight, is far more a shameful act than reporting such activities to the people who have a right to know. And so now your government is coming out and saying, hey, this WikiLeaks guy over here, he's a threat to the security of America. No, no. He's a threat to the criminals who are running your government. He's exposing them, and they don't want to be exposed. Now, if that's a threat to your security, well, by God, they got it right. Well, a government that spies on its own people must in turn be watched even more carefully by those people. And a government that does not trust the people to know about its spying cannot itself be trusted. Anthony Gregory is a research analyst at the Independent Institute, a policy advisor for the Future of Freedom Foundation, and a writer and museum. You can see his website, anthonygregory.com. So there's one, anthonygregory.com. And then the article comes out from the fff.org. So you go to www.fff.org, Bush's Secret Surveillance State by Anthony Gregory. Pretty good article, lays the facts on the table. Next time we'll take this up right here, and let's take a look at what the United States Supreme Court had to say about this surveillance state, or at least one of their judges, next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Meanwhile, let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archive, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, there's my signal. It says time's up. I got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.